of those seasons, because God reveals different things during different seasons. And we want to really kind of change it from our problems and our struggles or our season to really the God who controls the seasons, because he is in control of our seasons now, and he's in control of our life seasons as well. And this morning, well, we're kind of walking in between the two, because we're really talking this morning about rhythms, that we live a rhythmic life. We do the same things over and over again a lot of times, and we like habits. We like rhythm. Now, Jamie was playing the drums, and the drums are basically a rhythm instrument I'm taking, and there are probably times, I'm not going to ask you when it is times, but there are times when he's like really killing the rhythm, right? He has the rhythm. He feels the rhythm. But there are times too when you just can't, it just feels off. You just feel a little bit off. Like you can't quite find, maybe you're a runner in here. Do you not know what it's like to be out of rhythm and know what it's like to be in a rhythm running, right? You understand? There's a difference. Sometimes you're like looking for it. I was even thinking about this as I was worshiping this morning. Preaching is rhythmic too. Like last service, I was like, I felt like I was struggling to find the rhythm. You know, some Sundays you're like going, you're like, man, I feel you feel like the Holy Spirit's kind of working. You're like clicking a little bit. You know, you feel, and then there's other times you're fighting it. You're like struggling with it. We are rhythmic people. And in fact, this coming week, a lot of you are either not excited or excited about the new rhythm of life, because if you're a student in here, you may be like dreading this new rhythm. You had your rhythm. Go to bed late, playing Fortnite, waking up late, playing Fortnite, dreaming about Fortnite. I don't know what your rhythm is, but some of you have a rhythm in the summer and your parents are like, I just want a new rhythm. We need something new. This whole idea of annoying me in this rhythm is not what I want. And so some of you are looking forward, there's a new rhythm coming. School's starting, so there's a rhythm to it. And the hard part sometimes is it's hard to find that rhythm early on. You're looking for that, like, time you get up, how you're going to do the morning, trying to figure out your teachers, trying to figure out the rhythm of coming home. Do you have snack? When you eat? When you do your homework? When you work? You know, but once you find the rhythm, doesn't it get, like, easier? Or you know what to expect. There's a rhythm to it. You know, and sometimes we find it, and sometimes there's a rhythm to your work. Oh, at least some of you have a rhythm to your work. Some of you go in and you answer email in the morning. Like, that's part of your rhythm. And then you move on to the next thing, and the next thing. You have a pattern of how it becomes easier to do that thing. And God created us for rhythms. He created us for seasons. He created us to find that pace. And when we're out of pace, when we're out of rhythm, you know what that leads to, right? Frustration, anxiety, anger, like these tiredness, exhaustion. There's a lot of these emotions that can rile in you. But when you're out of rhythm, it creates some net, like, man, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Last week, Pastor John was talking about this car that he owns or he wants to own someday. Do you remember this? He was talking about getting on the four-wheel. I forget which car you mentioned, but he's like, he's making these sounds like the car when it's in rhythm, right? It's just going. It's like, I'm not even going to do it because I can't do it like him. And so it's just, and it feels like you just like 0 to 60 in like 2.2 seconds, and then it's cornering well, and you just sometimes you feel the rhythm of the car. I have a car that I feel a rhythm. It's out of rhythm, you know, and it's like 0 to 60 uphill, like never, you know what I mean? It's like popping sometimes, and it's frustrating, and you can just tell the car is not in rhythm. It's not what it's designed to be. And I'm just going to tell you, God created us for a rhythm. And what creates some of the frustration in your life right now, some of the anger or some of the tiredness or some of the exhaustion is that you haven't lived God's rhythm for you. All right, so we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 2. Let me back up to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. And Genesis 1 through 3 sets the stage really for the rest of the whole Bible. All right, it's critical. And what I love about Genesis 1, 2, and 3, it's like the world when it was in the right rhythm, when things were clicking. Like when you're reading Genesis 1 and 2, you're just seeing how God designed us to be, what desires he put in us, what what it's like to live in relationship well, what it's like to live in relationship with God well, what it's like when nature's working, when everything's functioning, and everything's rhythmic, what it's like. And so God in chapter 1 is kind of creating, right? 6 days of creation. In the beginning, God created light, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be land, there was land. Let there be animals, and there was animals. Let there be birds, and there was birds. Let there be fish, and there was fish, and vegetation, and vegetation. And there is this phrase that he uses often in that creation act. When he's going to work, and he's like, all right, he's creating, he's speaking things into life. And by the way, he could have done it in one day. He could have done it in a lot of different ways, but he's setting up a rhythm for us. He says, I'm gonna do this way because I want you to model this rhythm. And do you know the phrase that he uses after most of the days that he creates something? It is good. It is good. And so we get to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, then the heavens, after he's finished the 6 days, then the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And we could spend a whole lot of time on this verse because it is beautiful. Just to think about that at the end of the 6 days, he looked around and he's like, man, this is really good. And it's vast array. I love that word vast. It's not just small, in all of the different species of fish and all the different areas of our world and all the jungles and the beaches and the mountains, all in its vast array. Like, we could go all sorts of places and we're like, man, this is really amazing. He had finished it all. Let me just give you the first part of the rhythm before we get to the next couple of verses. That God, in us, God created us to do something. Before sin entered the world, before things started unraveling, he actually gave us a job to do. He says, go tend the garden, create something beautiful, manage it. He gave us something to do. Inside of us, we are designed to work. We're designed to do something. Heaven is not going to be us riding a cloud playing the harp. But we'll be doing things. We'll be working. And by the way, what he designed work to be in its natural state before sin had entered it is it's supposed to be good. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It's supposed to be pleasing. It's supposed to be like, man, this is me, okay? And you may do it differently. Maybe it's something else. But I mow my yard. And I get off my mower, or because my mower broke, I pushed it the other day, and I look back, and I'm like, this is good. Do you mean to see it complete in its beauty of the smells of it? I just love finishing it and be like, this is good. I like this. This is what I can do in retirement, mowing yards, you know? And it's supposed to be that way of like, good. Here's another part. That God created you. Some of you hate mowing, and it's fine. God created you different. You are a sower. You're like perfect seams, or you're a person that likes to cook. You know, God put in you gifts, abilities for you that when you're functioning in those gifts, when you're working in the things that you're good at, you come alive. Does that make sense? That's how we're designed, is to enjoy being who God created us to be, doing the work. And He really designed us to enjoy it, to delight in it. But there's something even, all right, the problem is we get out of rhythm and we create gods out of things that shouldn't be gods. All right, let me paint this a little. They're called idols in the Bible. Idols, so God is supposed to be the only thing on top, right? He's supposed to be the one we're looking towards, what we're submitting to. We put our desires and our hunger underneath him. But when we put other things, when our desire moves God off that place and into something else, that's a problem. It's called an idol. And for us, for many people in here, all of a sudden we took what God created to be good, that he put inside of us, and we make it our God. We make it, first of all, our identity. How we define ourselves is by what position we have, what financial compensation you get, what accolades you get at work. And so you become what they call nowadays, a workaholic. You're like tied to your phone. You're like always online. You're like there, you know. You're like, I have to do this. I have to achieve this. I have to go after this. And you enjoy it because it's part of who you see yourself as being. All of a sudden, what God designed as good now becomes not so good. Because we make work all about who we are. And let me just tell you where that leads. That leads to burnout, frustration, and brokenness. And at first it feels good. Like you're like achieving things. You're getting your bosses like, man, so you're climbing the ladder and everything's clicking, everything's moving. But the cracks are starting to form because that's not how God created you to function. It's not the rhythm of being all on work all the time. Because there's a second part to the scripture that says this. By the seventh day, God had finished his work. He had completed the 6 days of creation. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating he had done. So he creates this. God's not tired. God doesn't get tired. But he this idea of Sabbath is what we call it. That's a biblical term for it. Is this idea of ceasing, pausing, stopping, resting, slowing. It's like stopping what you're doing to do something else. And so our rhythm that God designed for us is work 6 days, rest one day. Work 6 days, rest one day. In fact, he included a lot of other things in that rhythm in the Old Testament. He had like celebrations along the way. He had weeks off. He had a year of Sabbath, like a whole sabbatical year for the people of God. Like, don't even do any field planning because we're going to take care of it. He's going to take care of it. He had this rhythm of work and rest, work and rest, work and rest. And then look what he says. It says rest. This day of rest, the other 6 days are good, but this other day is holy, set apart, separate. It's above the other 6 days. It's a special day. That's pretty amazing in itself, that God has designed our rhythm, that rest and slowing down and doing differently than the other six is the better day. The other days are good. This day is great. And this idea of holiness, by the way, I was just kind of thinking through where we hear the word holy in the Bible. The temple is one of those places, that the place where the people worship God. Moses came to the burning bush, and it was holy ground. Isaiah went up into heaven, Isaiah 6, and he's standing before the throne of God, and he says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." It seems to me that any time that God shows up, it's holy. Oh, listen to what I'm saying. This is not a location. This is a day. But I'm thinking it's holy because it's the day that God wants to show up in your life. I mean, he wants to show up in the other 6 days. But the other 6 days are us striving and are us going underneath him. The seventh day is a stopping and a pausing where he pours into us. It's where we receive his gifts. Now, we have a problem with workaholism sometimes, but we also can worship vacations too. Do you know what I mean? We can make vacation the answer all. I'm really struggling, frustrated, on the verge of burnout. I need a vacation. And so you set it up. And listen, I'm not saying that work isn't good, and I'm not saying vacations aren't good. All I'm saying is that vacation should be underneath who God is. Getting away, beach houses, trips out, whatever you're like, man, I can't wait for this. This is the main thing. This is what I'm looking forward to. If it replaces God, that becomes an idol and is actually not healthy for us. And so God creates us to say, 6 days we're striving, one day we rest. 6 days we're working hard. One day we slow down. And this is what the Pharisees did. It's very interesting how this, because they're like, we need to do, they're about the law, right? The Pharisees were these guys who were like religious leaders. They were like the pastors of their day. And they set up these laws, and they were like looking at the Bible and said, all right, we need to do this, this, and this, and this. And so they were very strict about what laws people had need to follow. So they got to the Sabbath day, and they're like, oh, It's a command. We need to keep the Sabbath. And so they started making laws of what you can't do on the Sabbath. You can't move a chair from this side of the room to this side of the room. You can't open the refrigerator on the Sabbath. You can't walk a certain distance. You know what they did? They made a day that was supposed to be about ceasing, and they created a work environment to it. The day was supposed to be about God filling and delighting and enjoying, and they made it about work. What are you supposed to climb the ladder? Do this, and do this, and you'll be greater. And all of a sudden, the 2 days became one whole, it's just another day of work. Another day of frustration because, oh, man, I didn't do that very well. Yeah, I ate something I wasn't supposed to eat. My kid ran off, and I had to chase him. All of a sudden, I crossed that line of how far I was supposed to move. And all of a sudden, it became like, and God said, no. When Jesus came, he's like, that's not the Sabbath. And he starts even leaning forward. He's like, really? There is something even better than this rhythm of the Sabbath. Over in Colossians chapter 2, it says this. Do we have that? The Colossians scripture. It says, chapter 3. That's fine. Here, not that one. All right, let me turn there. Colossians chapter 2, 2 or 3, whatever one it is. It says, there it is. Colossians 2, 16 and 17. It says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. So, hey, don't let people tie you down with regulation over these things. Don't let people say, oh, you're a terrible Sabbather. Really, I'm a terrible rester. Don't let people judge you on that. Listen. This is like really good stuff. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. All right, the Sabbath. We're just talking about the Sabbath today, the day of rest, this rhythm. He says the Sabbath day. This modeling in Genesis chapter 2 was a shadow. All right, now think about this for a second. All right, so there's us, and then there's this thing called a mirror. All right, the mirror you look into and you can see whether you look good or bad that day, or maybe good every day or bad every day, depending on how you feel about yourself. You know, you're looking, it's an image of. Sometimes poor, sometimes the mirror is a little dirty. It's not the reality, it's an image. It's a shadow. But a shadow actually is even a poorer image than a mirror. That makes it, a shadow gives you the form without any color. Like when you're walking down the road, you see a shadow. You see, oh, that's me. I can see my shape a little bit. I can see, you know, it's a poor reflection of the reality. And here's Paul saying, the Sabbath is a poor reflection of reality. There's something greater. There's something behind the shadow. There's something more. If you look past the shadow to the reality of what's behind it, there's something beautiful. There's something better than the shadow. Don't settle for the shadow of this rhythm. Settle for the reality of it. That's what it says. The reality is found in Christ. That the Sabbath is a reflection of Jesus and what he came to do. The reality of this idea of rest, if you're feeling frustration this morning, if you're feeling like burnout, if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling out of balance, if you feel like things aren't clicking, the reality is found, yeah, live the rhythm that God designed us for, 6 days of work, 1 day of rest, but the reality is actually found in a better thing in Christ. This is what he says in Matthew chapter 11. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, all you who are working so hard, all you who are like striving, you're worried about your finances, you're worried about your marriage, you're working hard in all those areas, you're going to work and you're clocking in and clocking out, you're giving your all there and you're like, I'm tired, I'm working hard. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and not the Sabbath will give you rest, even though it's what it's designed for. He says, I am the king of rest. I am the one who will give you rest. Listen to how it ties in, though. Verse 29 says this. Take my yoke upon me. Here's that rhythm. See, a yoke is an instrument of work. You, on the, you didn't take the yoke out on the Sabbath. The yoke is what you put on a horse or a donkey or whatever animal it is to plow the fields. That's a yoke. He says, take my yoke, what I want you to do, what I've designed you for, take my yoke upon you. Like, tie yourself to me. That's the work part of it. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And listen to this. And you will find rest for your souls. You know what the rhythm is? When you're striving, when you're working, put yourself underneath the submission of Jesus Christ. And all of it, this is what it says in the New Testament. It says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now all that you're working, all that you're doing, every single thing that you do, Monday through Saturday or whatever it is, your work week, is to his glory. It's an act of worship. It's an act of adoration. So it doesn't matter whether you're like CEO or whether you're doing dishes. It doesn't matter what other people say about your work. You're doing it for the glory of God, and therefore it's whole, it's special, it's pleasing to him. And so you can do the dishes to the glory of God. You can do whatever he has asked you to do. You can do the dirty jobs show, you know, any of those dirty jobs, you can do to the glory of God. You can do it as an act of worship. You can do it like, God, I'm doing this because I love you and I adore you, and I'm striving alongside you because this is what you knit me to do. And now you're starting to click a little bit. And then he says, listen, not only do you work and bring glory to me that way, now I want you to stop and rest in me. Because a lot of times when we're doing a Sabbath, we're still striving. We're still working. In our mind, we're making our list of things we have to do the next week. We're still anxiety-ridden because we're still like, I have to, oh man, those bills. And then you're like, oh man, you're walking around the house, and all of a sudden your list got 10 things, you're like, I don't even want to be at home because my list is getting longer. I might as well go to Lowe's and walk. No, my list gets longer there too. It doesn't matter where you go, your list is getting longer. And you're like, we need rest, not just on the Sabbath. So we need to get to this point of, let's see if this chair comes apart, where we can sit before Christ and stops our hearts from striving and just sit before him and say, you got this. That's Sabbath rest. Does it make sense? You're just like, I know that my finances are a mess, and I know that I don't know how this is all going to work out. But for today, right now, I'm resting in a Savior who has it all. I'm not striving right now. I'm not going to strive. There's a time where God wants you to work, and there's a time where he's going to come and fill you. There's a time to rest. He says, stop striving and just submit. You know, it's funny because at night, I don't know how you guys go to sleep, but at night you get in bed, you start winding down, and then your mind starts raveling a little bit. You know, you're fighting. Like, you can't sleep when your mind's going 100 miles per hour. You're like all over the place. But there comes a point where your body just submits. Because when you're sleeping, really, you're not really stressing. Or maybe you have dreams of stress, but generally, you're just like, it's not in your control anymore. I'm just saying that's what we need to do to Christ. On that Sabbath rhythm, we're working for his word. We're doing what he wants us to do. But there comes a time where we have to stop trying to work and just rest that he has it. I'm not in control of this. I don't need to be in control of this. I trust in the Savior. I trust. You know what they call this? The gospel, the good news. That this is what's amazing about Scripture, is that he's done it all. Jesus has paid all the price. He's done all the work. He's done all the striving. He's paid all the penalties. He's covered all the costs. We no longer have to climb a ladder. There comes a point when we can just receive the gospel, receive his grace, receive his gifts. That's why vacations are good when they're underneath the submission of Christ. Like, when you can go, this is what I love. When you can go to the beach, and you can sit and just like, wow, God, thank you for this gift. This is amazing. I love doing my devotions at the beach. I love doing my devotions in the mountains. I love to just worship him there. Vacations are good, but can we take Jesus with us on vacation? Can we make him Lord of our vacation? Can we let him fill us on vacation? Because what happens when you don't is you still come back and either it's 2 weeks later, you're like, man, I can't wait till next year's vacation. Start planning it. I'm sick of this work thing. Or for some of you, you're driving back and you've filled your vacation so much that you're like, I need a vacation from my vacation. I'm tired. We've been going so hard and so fast. I went to Disney World and now I'm all stressed out because God designed us to work and rest. That rhythm, work and rest. Work and and I think if we could ever figure out how to really enjoy God's gifts and really release what we're wrestling with, both work-wise and also emotionally, and just like, God, I'm going to trust you today. I'm gonna lay it down before you today. Man, how freeing that is. Do you know that for most people in our world, they see the church and they see God as this like, almost like he doesn't want our joy. He doesn't want us to delight in life. He doesn't want us to laugh. That is such a lie from Satan that I can't even, like, God is fighting for our joy. This rhythm, this Sabbath rhythm was for our delight. He says, rest. Take a nap. Sit out on the back porch. Drink something that's going to relax you. Not too much, but just enjoy. Just take in what I've made for you. And delight. I want your joy. I want you to go to work. And I want you to be like, man, this is good. There's some frustration. I know there's always frustration because you're working with people. But by the end of the day, you're like, I worked hard. I gave God credit. And man, it's good. I love to work. I love to serve God in this way. And when we can find delight and joy in this rhythm, man, it starts bringing life back to us. Because you know what the opposite is, right? When you get into survival mode, and you're just like trying to survive the day, trying to make it through the weekend, trying to make it here, trying to make it a bit, trying to make it till your kids get out of the school, out of the house, trying to make it to retirement, trying to pay the bills in retirement, and you're always like, always striving. You're never really enjoying and delighting in life. Listen, hold on. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. You don't think that God, when he got done, is like, I just want everyone to enjoy this. Stop for a second. I made the Grand Canyon. I can surely handle your finances. I put the stars in place. I can just give me time. I'll take care of the other relationships in your life. If he can handle all the vast, if he can do the fish in the sea and still they're still discovering it, can't he handle the anxiety that you have this morning? Listen to what the verse says again. It doesn't say come to the Sabbath. It says come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. This is a invitation. This is like, I don't want to add, just come to me, all you who are weary and tired. And I, being a person, not a religion, not a set of laws, a person, just like John was talking about last week, we place our trust in a person. We also place our trust in a relation, in this rest, in a person that he will give us, which is a gift. It's something we get to enjoy and delight in. He will give us rest. You know where the real rest, why we don't rest well? Because we keep hanging on to the things that we're, how do you rest when you keep hanging to it? How do you rest when you're still fighting it? But when we submit, there's a joy and a freedom that God allows us to experience. So this is Labor Day weekend. And so I'll even give you some homework this weekend before our last song. Find that place of rest. Take a nap. God designed us for naps. That they're good things. God wants us to enjoy some little snacks. Just find delight today and tomorrow and put God in the middle of it. Like, man, we want to enjoy what he's created for us. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in this room, there are people who are exhausted today. People who feel out of sync, out of sorts, their rhythm is off. Their work environment, they're struggling at work and they're struggling at home and they have no sanctuary. God, may they come to you, the Savior, the healer, the one who fulfills his promises, the one who died for us, the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of rest. May you we live underneath that lordship, underneath that rule, because you are a good king. You are good. We just want to delight and enjoy you in Jesus' name.